Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
But for those people who are, you know, champing, by the way, which is...
No, what? Chomping.
It's chomping.
It's champing.
It's chomping.
Sports Talk Saturday.
The other day when I said chomping on the bit of Twitter, I got 20 people. It's champing.
It's the internet. You know you can't trust
it's
that.
It's champing.
On WGR.
Champing.
Sports Radio 550.
I got to talk to that guy for hours tomorrow.
You sound really excited.
Bills and Dolphins tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff. Me and Nate Geary there will be hosting pregame starting at 10. We're talking some Sabres here, though. Sabres after dark for the last time in a while here. Tonight against the San Jose Sharks, a very strange home-and-home also with the San Jose Sharks. They will be in Buffalo to play on Tuesday after they play the Sabres tonight.
Playing a familiar face, too.
Vander Kane. Who had a hat trick in the first period the other night.
Yeah, he's a good player.
The Sharks are not playing well, though. And really, it's the same exact problem they had last year. And Lou's going to be mad about this because...
I'm not mad anymore.
This used to be one of his favorite players.
He's the Mariota for me of the NHL.
Such a weird favorite player to have, anyways. Martin Jones has been awful.
He wasn't a favorite player of mine, but when he was Jonathan Quick's backup during the tank years, I wanted the Sabres to get him instead of Robin Leonard, which was the same year he got moved to San Jose.
And one is significantly better than the other nowadays.
Yeah, but who was better for 3 years? I think it was Jones.
Yeah.
He was pretty good the first couple years in San Jose.
Really? Yes.
And he was better than Quick for a while, and he wasn't playing.
Leonard was good here. Leonard was good here. People will not give him credit for that. He was good here.
Yeah, but Jones was, I thought he was really good the first couple years. And you don't like Jonathan Quick.
Oh, he's terrible.
Jones, I thought, was better at the time.
Just terrible.
I thought they made a mistake letting him go.
The Eli Manning of hockey. I mean, just the guy is just way overrated because he won a couple of rings. He's never been a top goaltender in the NHL. He had two insanely good playoff runs, no doubt. Two of the best ever, maybe. But over the course of his entire career, regular season, the guy has been average. And he's 33 years old now, which is not that old for a goaltender. And he's shot. You can't put him on the ice. He has under an 800 save percentage. That is so bad. I can't even put into words how bad it is. 915 is an average save percentage. He's at 792. Like, you can't even put him on the ice. Cal Peterson going there is still a little strange to me, but like I always kind of got why he went there. Maybe. I thought part of it was Quick is not going to last forever with the way he plays, his athleticism. He relies on his athleticism. If once that goes, he's not going to be a good goaltender anymore. He's not going to be reliant on his fundamentals and his technique. So he's very reactionary. Once that athletic ability starts to go, he's not going to be able to play anymore. And we're seeing that right now. You can't start Jonathan Quick if he's your goaltender.
Is Cal Peterson going to be there? Is he still...
He hasn't really...
He was pretty hyped up here for a couple years.
Well, he was one of the best goalie prospects. He was one of the best goalie prospects in the world.
Do you think the Sabres were planning on him being like a long-term, like your Ukko Pekka Luukkonen at the time?
I thought they planned on him and Ullmark being their one and two.
I always thought it was Jonas Johansson. I was very wrong.
No. Not at
all. I was very wrong.
Once they drafted him, he just didn't really come along. He's still coming, though. We'll see, maybe. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen, though. The defenseman, though. The defense core is where we left off our conversation last hour. And one guy that does not get talked about almost at all for trade, but would have more value than a Scandella or than a Bogosian, but you could still move him, is Jake McCabe. Like, they could trade Jake McCabe, and I think you almost surely have to include something else, like a draft pick or something. But I think he could be a piece in you getting a top six forward back. Like, I think he's valuable enough with something else that you could still accomplish that.
What would you have to package with McCabe to get a top six?
I don't know. Maybe
another pick?
I'm trying to think of prospects. I'm not sure like a second round pick would do it. I don't think you want to give a first.
I don't know if they have a prospect that would do it. A team just clamoring for right now. Who is? I mean, that who is that guy? Who is that valuable chip the Sabres have?
I'm not sure.
And Rochester and juniors.
The guy I want more than anything, though, I want Andre Cache from Anaheim. I want him. He is good. He is young, and he is available. We have evidence of it. Like, we have the proof. They traded him. He was going to Carolina. All that needed to happen was Anaheim and Justin Falk needed to work out a contract extension, and Cache was dealt. He was part of a package. So you know that you can get him. Anaheim needs right-shot defensemen. Now, McCabe is not that, but Ristolainen is that. Bogosian's that, but he's not healthy. Ristolainen makes so much sense for this. Winnipeg just doesn't seem to want to make a trade. Like, they're just not going to do it. If they've made a trade now, I'm not saying I don't think they're going to do it. Unless they get, like, final word that Dustin...
You don't think at the deadline, maybe?
That's a while away. Unless they maybe get final word that Dustin Byfuglien's not going to play anymore. Which, I would not bank on him playing. Dustin Byfuglien's already had some staying in shape problems throughout his career. And there was a story, I think, from Bob McKenzie that he hasn't skated or worked out all summer.
Ugh.
What Dustin Byfuglien might be, the kind of shape Dustin Byfuglien might be in right now, might take months for him to come back. So, to me, if they're not going to make a deal now, they're not going to make a deal. Anaheim, on the other hand, is off to a hot start here. They might think that they could be pretty good. They were willing to trade Cache. They still need the right shot defenseman. They've got some injuries. Like Brendan Gooley, who's been playing almost 20 minutes a night for them, is hurt. Not major, but he's hurt. So that's the type of trade I think they should be looking for. And if, I'll say this, if Ristolainen's not getting them that player back, go ahead. You throw something back in. Even if you think Ristolainen is a more valuable player than Cache, do not trade him for pieces. That I would rather overpay getting one piece than get a bad deal with three or four. You know what I mean? I would rather...
So do it straight up instead of another team with a bunch of pieces?
Even if I think Ristolainen is worth more than Andre Cache in Anaheim, I'd rather do like Ristolainen a second-round pick for him than get another Sobotka, Thompson, late first-round pick package. I just don't want that again, and I don't think that helps you. Part of the reason I think you should want to trade Ristolainen, even still, and it's not just the guys coming back like Montour and Pilot, it is getting a hole on your front top six filled, because they have one. Sobotka cannot continue to play in their top six. I think Matt Beauvais made some good points. He's not playing terrible in the last week. But this guy, you can't have a guy who just is not involved in the offensive part of the game. Right now, it's not a coincidence that despite the fact that he's playing with two really skilled players, Marcus Johansson and Jeff Skinner, who, by the way, Skinner has 4 goals and 2 assists. Johansson has 3 goals and 2 assists. Some solid points to start the year.
Very good together.
It's not a coincidence that Sobotka has 1 measly assist in 8 games. You cannot be in the top six on a team, play with skilled players like that, and have 1 point.
Well, Matt's biggest point was about his defensive play. And that, for me, is...
It's not enough.
I'll accept that on the third line, that kind of player, the fourth line, but we're talking about your top six. The first thing that comes out of your mouth for his value is defense. That's a problem for me on the top six. I don't want to hear that as your first strong trait as to why you're up there. I don't accept it.
Even though he didn't earn it when he was on the ice for the 4 games before this last game when Sherry come back, or these last 2 games, Rodriguez, I know, did not play well. But ideally, he's still the fit on that line. If you want a guy to help out in the defensive zone, to help out some center responsibilities with Johansson, Rodriguez can do that for you. But he will not only have 1 point playing with those guys. He's better than that. Now, he's not going to put up 50 points playing with those guys, but he might put up 30 or 40. And to me, that is leaps and bounds more upside than what you're getting with number 17 out there on the ice. I think he's playing his role, and I actually think he's playing it well, but it will not change that he's just not capable of helping that line score,
it's so
and that
obvious
line's
too.
Job is to score.
It's so obvious. Like, you don't even have to really be big into hockey to realize you're watching Skinner and Johansson, I think, have had some really good chemistry this year, and you see them moving the puck in the offensive zone, the defense getting in on the action too, and then the puck goes to Sobotka, and just instantly,
it
I don't
just
know,
dies.
Just the air just deflates out of the plate. I mean, he made the one really nice pass, and I think even Skinner was surprised against Dallas on Monday.
That was a funny picture. He looked stunned.
He was
stunned. The goal.
That was like the only every other time. Like even the one game I was at this year, it was a 2-on-1, and they realized who had the puck, and it was Sobotka, and just the momentum died. It's you can so clearly tell that he is holding them back on the offensive zone from being a great line.
And that's the spot I want to see filled. I'm at a point now where Johansson, I think, is holding down the forward at center on the second line. So I don't think the Sabres should be as desperate to go find a center with this defenseman that they might trade. I think that you can do it for a winger. That's why I like Kashe as an idea. Like, he would be that. He would fit right in. There are other guys, too. Like, there are plenty around the league. And actually, I think if maybe the Sabres wanted to see if Johansson could play center, so now that they can start maybe looking for more wingers. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
If I were Botterill in the offseason, I would have been trying to flip Ristolainen into a center. And that's tougher to do than a winger. Centers are inherently more valuable. So now that you're at a point where, hey, okay, maybe I can trade him and get a top six winger instead of a top six center, because those are hard to come by. Well, now it might get a little bit easier. But they still have to make the determination that they want to do that. And I just still can't see a reason why you wouldn't want to do it with all the depth you have. And Jason Botterill last week on our station did say that depth was a big reason why all these guys are still here. But it is overkill. It's overkill. There are just way too many of them. So
I get it. Maybe if you think you can give up a McCabe type of player or a Scandella, and like if you realize, okay, we're not getting this top six center for Ristolainen, and we might get a pretty good winger, but the drop-off from what we would get for McCabe in a package might not be... That's what I think. Maybe he's feeling it out that way, because if you can get something close and give up a McCabe rather than a Ristolainen, I think that's something that they're still considering, because it just seems like they still really like Ristolainen. I mean, the minutes don't lie. I mean, at least the coach, and the coach isn't... Kruger's not making the decisions from a personnel standpoint, but, I mean, I think they are still... I don't think they're all in on moving Risto.
803-0550 is the phone number. I completely agree. I think that...
I'm with you, though.
Minutes,
if I can get him...
Minutes speak louder than words, in a way.
If Anaheim's willing to talk with that move, I'm all ears. I'm good for that.
Yeah.
Would you do it straight up?
I would do it straight up. I don't know if they would, but I would definitely do it straight up. I think that's the exact type of player that I'm looking for. Now, I will say this. They, I think, have some other producers right now further in the roster that I'm still hopeful you're going to get some consistent production out of. And that right now is Sherry. That was such a sick goal he scored the other night. I don't know how often I've seen a guy score from two knees. Like, you see, like, Stamkos, for instance, he's trademarked basically one-timers from one knee.
Yeah.
And a lot of players do that. But Sherry went down on two knees. He was basically sliding towards the net as he put it home. But that'll be interesting. If Mittelstadt and Sherry can be a combination that gets going to give you some offense going forward, then I'm not as desperate to move Sobotka off that line, even though I still think that it's just the right thing to do.
What is Mittelstadt at? 5 points in
two games
with Sherry?
Yeah, right. And
compared to zero?
Yeah, and even on the season, if you say it's 5 points in 8 games, which I know you're right, 5 points in 2 games, I think, with Sherry.
Yeah.
5 points in 8 games, like, that's not a bad pace for Mittelstadt.
Plus a shootout game winner?
Yeah, what was the bar for him this year? Like, what did we want out of him? I would have taken 35, 40 points. That's not a huge jump, but it's a step forward, and that's, I think, what we wanted from Mittelstadt. We didn't need the huge jump. We didn't need him to become a 70-point player, like,
right.
I think we might still want to hope he becomes. But
I think
35,
they're 40? Banking on it right now, though, that he's becoming that eventually. Like, if they don't add anybody...
The thing is, his ice time is still really low. 11 minutes of ice time. That line is their fourth line. It still is. The Larson, the log line, is still playing more than them. So... Minutes-wise, the Mittelstadt line's their fourth line, and that includes Sherry. Sherry's playing under 11 minutes a night, and VC is playing... Where's VC at here? Oh, he's so far down the list because he only got one assist in the season. He's playing 12 minutes, 11 seconds. So, and Rodriguez, 9 minutes. So, to me, that line is your fourth line right now, but if they can chip in offensively the way the Larson line can't, the Larson line will not score. I just don't think it will. I think they're playing great. I think they're doing their job. They're holding the puck a lot, and that's perfect. Give me that all season, and I don't need them to score a ton.
Well, especially if the third line picks it up. I mean, if even VC,
well,
like...
What third line, what are you talking
about?
Well,
I'm talking about the
Mittelstadt
Sherry line, because if they... I mean, you're not going to score 3 goals from that line every game like they had against the Kings, but...
I would take
even
a goal
VC,
maybe every
though,
other game.
I mean, what, the first 3 years in New York, he had at least 15 goals with the Rangers, and we're just... I don't know, I haven't seen any sort of offensive production from him so far. If they pick it up, you don't need right. Like they've needed yeah. the Gergensen. They've needed the log line to produce offensively because they haven't really got much from what they expected to be the third line. It's just if right. Sheary continues to have this kind of impact with Mittelstadt. I mean, Mittelstadt just looks like a totally. I mean, and again, he had a good game against Anaheim, but just looks completely different with Sheary. I don't know what it is, but. I think the puck so much better. You were talking about his shot inconsistencies last week. His shot looked way better against LA.
Yeah, well, the goal he scored was like a real
yeah. I mean, that was a shot.
It was a real release.
Where other times on the power play, a couple times here, you've seen he's fanned on it. He hasn't gotten a lot into it. I mean, normally I think Mittelstadt is a pretty good shot. It's just inconsistent, and it was there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is with Sheary, but he definitely positive impact on Mittelstadt.
They had last year Mittelstadt and Sheary, and I'll include VC in this with the Rangers. They had a combined 42 goals. I think I would want that number to be 60 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you could tell me that. I think I would want, would I want 60? 60 might be asking a lot. 50. Like, can I get two 15-goal scorers and a 20-goal scorer on that line? Like, I think I should want that. That's an offensive line. Like, that's a line that has guys that can produce and have produced. Sheary has 20-goal seasons. VC has scored 16 or 17 every season of his career. I think he went 16, 17, 17
yeah.
or something. And Mittelstadt, we see, has some offensive flair, too. And he has potential. So I think I want 50 goals out of that line. Like, do you think that's too much to ask? 15 goals from, I mean, this rate, VC's
maybe
not gonna
I was going to say.
He's not going to come near 15. I don't think but
you would need Mittelstadt to kind of blow up here.
He's a very hot and cold player, though. I heard Craig Revay talking about this in the Instigators last week. VC went, I think, last year with the Rangers, maybe like 10 goals without scoring, and then just went on a tear, and then disappeared again, and then went on a tear. So he might be a guy that scores in spurts, almost kind of yeah. like a poor man's like Drew Stafford used to do that a lot.
He
would score
6 goals
in
how
two
many
games.
Hat tricks did he have in 2011?
Right, but then he would disappear for months at a time. So maybe that's VC.
VC will never be a guy that is in the 50-point range. I mean, he's had career-wise on assists 11, 11, and 18. But yeah, with the Rangers, he went 16 goals, 17 goals, 17 goals. I mean, you'd right. be hoping you get to 50, but at this rate,
they won't get it. But well, I don't know. Sherry's on pace for 60 goals. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just, you know, could happen. Not really.
Never mind. I say could happen.
Yeah, you did. I don't know why I threw that in there. He's not going to score 60 goals. I got one more thought on the Sabres for you when we come back, and then we'll get into Bills and Dolphins probably in the next hour. It is Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase. Give us a call, 803-0550. If you could want to throw a text our way, too, you can do that 550-550. I'll monitor that. And then also on Twitter, at SneakyJoeWGR or at DiBiaseLOE. We'll be back after this here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If it's not him, and now you're getting healthy with Montour back, and Bogosian isn't that far away. You know, you've got a glut. There's been some speculation on Scandella as a possibility, but I think that Botterill is just going to keep his powder dry and see if there's an injury out there.
That is Darren Dreger with the Instigators. Yesterday, Sabres on the blue line. It's crowded. You can catch that whole interview on demand at WGR550.com. I had a thought about the Sabres, though, the past couple days. I think what's gotten lost on all of us over the past couple years, essentially because this rebuild has taken 10 times longer than we wanted it to. Why did it start in the first place? The suffering comment, the tank, all of it. What was it? Do we remember like what the
what
whole
started
point of
the
it all
tank?
Was? We were sick, for the most part, symbolically. We were tired, and the Sabres were tired, of just being the team that's fighting for the 8 seed.
You were right? You were the seventh seed, or you were like 7 through 11. Exactly. You were stuck in 7 through 11.
Exactly. The whole point of the tank
average.
And the whole point of the suffering comment that Darcy Regier made was changing that from just trying to squeak in to higher expectations.
Did Darcy say that? He said
suffering. That was his comment, yeah.
Wow.
In 2011, they make the playoffs. No one for a second thought that team was winning the Stanley Cup at all. Nobody thought for a second that team could win a Stanley
Even
Cup.
The year they won the Vezina and they were the 3 seed,
exactly.
no one thought it was all Miller. Their leading goal scorer was Roy with like 21, I think.
Exactly. So being different than what those teams were, not being just a team that's fighting to make the playoffs, but being a team that people respect as a real Stanley Cup contender someday. That's why all of this happened. And because it's taken so long, I think we forgot that that's why it happened. Because we're back now thinking about the Sabres as the team that we just want to make the 8 seed. Like, we just want them to get in. Even right now, with them being first place in the NHL, every Sabre fan in the world, I would say this, I'm sure you would too, I would sign on the dotted line right now, just they're in the playoffs. That's it.
Yeah.
8 seed. They could be the last seed. I don't care. I just want them in the playoffs.
But I wouldn't be feeling that way if I didn't think they had a core that if they got hot could win a cup. I mean, so exactly. That's the thing. Like,
well, not even that they got hot. They have a core that they can build off of that I feel
like
could win it.
Like, they have star power that could win a cup.
Because
they never had. Like, Roy and Vanek were never winning you a Stanley Cup.
That's the thing. The top-end talent is different. What they have now is the two hardest things to find. A franchise defenseman, Rasmus Dahlin, and a franchise center in Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Those are the two hardest things to lock down in the league. Those Sabre teams, with that old core, with Connolly and Roy and Vanek and Pominville and Miller, those teams
did
not have...
The ghost of Connolly, mind you.
Those teams did not have that high-end talent. They were never going to be capable of doing that. Right now, I feel like they are capable of one day doing it with what they have in place. And I think that we've forgotten that because they've just been stuck in the mud for years here. They just can't even get to that first... They can't even get to first base. And I think we're going to maybe think about the Bills in the same light for this at some point. The Bills are probably going to make the playoffs this season. And right now, same thing. Like, I would think I would just sign up to tell you, if they lost in the first round to whoever it be, the NFC North champ or the AFC South champ, or the AFC South champ or the AFC North champ.
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with that. I think most people would be okay with that because that's that first step that we've been looking for with this team. And then, and only then, are we going to start to think about higher expectations than that. And the Sabres are the same thing. I think they only have to clear a certain bar, which is just getting in. Then I think we automatically, and I think rightfully, go to, all right, now how are we become a Stanley Cup contender? How do we jump in with Toronto and Boston and Tampa?
And I think it's because they have the pieces, though, that you're expecting can be championship caliber. Even if it's not now, it's eventually. Like, if they didn't have Josh Allen, it's the 2017 thing. And let's say 2017, let's say the drought ended 2 years before, and you still had Tyrod Taylor. In that scenario, would you have just been desperately fighting? Like, would you have wanted a 6 seed? At that point, I think you maybe would have rather have been a Miami Dolphins. Whereas now,
yes,
you're
saying,
get me to the 8 seed, get me into the wild card, because I think I have a quarterback, I think I have the franchise center and the defenseman, and if I can get my goalies hot at the right time, I have the pieces in place that even if I am a lower seed, if I'm in the dance, I can actually do some significant damage. Whereas before, at least I know from my perspective, and I know there's a lot of people that just want to get into the postseason. For me, if I didn't have those pieces, I wouldn't be as adamant of the Sabres just getting in now or the Bills just squeaking in. That at least from my perspective. If it was Tyrod Taylor still, I wouldn't care if they made the playoffs because to me, you're not winning a championship there, and then who cares? I mean, trust me. If the Bills consistently made the wild card, if you were the Cincinnati Bengals, it would get old really quick. The drought made people desperate for some sort of postseason action.
Exactly.
But if you went 3 years and you kept going one and done, it would have got old. It would have got old quickly.
But that's why I'm glad they didn't do that.
Right.
That's why I'm glad they started over there. But the Sabres...
I respect the Dolphins, by the way, with what they're doing, too. You mentioned that. I mean, that's why, it's just like the Sabres. As Sabres fans, you can kind of relate to that.
Well, really, what I'm still looking for, though, with the Sabres is I'm still leaving the door open that they could actually be legitimately good. They don't have to be legitimately good to make it. They don't. It happens that a team gets a career year from a goaltender and they make it. Carter Hutton's not too far off from what Robin Leonard was for the Islanders last year. Like, that was a career season, for not just for Leonard, but for their other goalie, Thomas Greiss.
Yeah.
They had career years, and the Islanders, that was maybe the biggest reason they made the playoffs. I always think about the Avalanche a couple years back when I think McKinnon was either a rookie or in his second year, O'Reilly is still there. That team was not that good. they made it because Semyon Varlamov, of all people, was a Vezina candidate. Like, he had his best year by far. Goalies, there are goalies around the league that consistently are not near the top of the league, but have that one year where they are. And I want to think that maybe Carter Hutton could have that year. He already led the league in save percentage a couple years ago, but he didn't play a ton. Maybe he could have that year. So either that could happen, and they get in that way, or maybe they are legitimately good. But it's becoming increasingly difficult to make that argument. They're starting to look like the team that won 10 games in a row last year. Mm-hmm. A lot of one-goal games, overtimes, shootouts, basically getting outchanced by the other team, but you're winning because of some lucky bounces and because your PDO is really high, so your shot percentage and your save percentage is really high. But where are the things that show that you're actually good? We're getting further and further away from those opening two games where they throttled Pittsburgh and New Jersey. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult to bring those up as examples that this team could be a lot better because we're getting further and further away from those games. They've played six games since then, and maybe they've only been great in one of them, and they've been pretty good in the others. And they got, I mean, that Kings game, I know they won 3-0. But again, I am not thinking about their results a lot right now. Like, I am. I'm watching the standings. But I'm more worried about how they're playing versus what the score is at the end of the day. That Kings game, they won 3-0. Do not think for a second that the Sabres were the better team than
the
Kings
that night. They were outshot 17-2 in the third period at one point.
Carter Hutton had to set a franchise record for saves in a shutout.
47,
to win
yep.
that game 3-0. They did not outplay the Kings. They did in the first period, but they got run over for the second and third period. And to me, that is not sustainable. That's not even a good team, by the way. Kings are not good.
I will say they started off pretty fast. In the first period, they were pretty dominant. To me, the thing I'm more concerned with is after two periods, it just seems like the gas is just gone.
Well, not even
from
just
this
after
team.
Two periods. The last two second periods, they've been run over. The Ducks, when that game got away from the Sabres, was in the second period.
For the most part, though, I feel like this season they've been a two period team.
But
I mean, they've been really good in those periods, but you got to be able to close out. Because I don't know if Hutton's going to be able to stay hot all year.
But that's what's not sustainable. What I think is not sustainable.
No, I agree.
Their expected goals for against the Kings was under 30% for those last two periods. Their puck possession was under 35%. Their shot share, I think, was under 35% as well. And again, it was a back-to-back, so I don't want to blast them too much, but that Kings team with a ton of veteran players that are way over the hill, that are on bad contracts, they don't have a lot of scoring depth, they don't have a lot of defensive depth, they don't have the goaltending, that team outplayed you for two periods, and you needed Carter Hutton to have a 47 save shutout to win. That's not sustainable to me.
Carter Hutton had 47 saves, but how many difficult saves did he have to make that night?
Oh, the third period? I thought he made a bunch of grade A saves.
It really was. They didn't have to make him work too hard for that, though, in the end of it.
I thought the third period he did. I thought the third period there were a lot of glorious chances for the Kings that he bailed them out of.
It wasn't like it wasn't a constant highlight reel sort of thing, though. They kept them from really having truly dangerous scoring chances.
Regardless,
for
you can't
the
have
most
a
15 part.
Shot difference.
But I would say for the second end of a back-to-back, you've already got the 3-0 lead, and you're kind of pretty much stopping the truly dangerous chances from happening. You take that third period and you just run. You get out of there.
But it would be different. They look the same against the Ducks, though.
Yeah, the second periods are what are more concerning. The Ducks game is more concerning to me, that second period where you had a 2-0 lead and then you just
lost
it.
But that's the thing. This is becoming a trend. They are getting outplayed for periods on end by teams that are not that great. Montreal's good, but are they one of the great teams of the league? No. Florida is good. Are they one of the great teams of the league right now? No. Anaheim, they're off to a hot start, but I don't consider them one of the great teams of the league. LA, certainly not. This is a bunch. Columbus, they're one of the worst teams in hockey right now. These are several teams that have outplayed the Sabres for periods on end.
If your expectations, though, for the Sabres were like the 7th seed, would you be as concerned?
For the 7th seed, I'm not. But in thinking this team could be,
where you think this team is, like if you think this team is a top tier team in the NHL, then these trends are concerning. But if you think that right now, maybe not down the road, they could be more. But like if you're thinking from like where I am, and I still think in the East, they're still in more so the 5-8 range than the 4-1. So in that sense, I don't expect them to dominate every single game for an 82 game stretch. Whereas I guess it really depends on where you view where this team is at right now. So for me, I'm still encouraged with where they're at because I don't think they're instantly going to be a top team in the NHL this year.
Okay, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
let's go to Steve in Buffalo quick before we hit a break. Mm-hmm. Steve, you're on the Sports Talk Saturday. What's up?
Hey guys, how you doing? Hey,
good.
It's October 19th. Let's relax a little bit. We do remember last year the November banner that they put up in the arena 10 in a row, and then it went south very quickly. Get me to the first of the year. Let's not go crazy. I mean, it's a great start. Don't get me wrong. They got dominated the other night. They got dominated against Columbus. The Pucks bounced their way through seven games. Good start, great start. I mean, and I'm a fan. But let's not, there's no Stanley Cup parades being planned yet. And if you guys think that this team is any closer to the 06-07 team, your memory's not that good. If not for an injury, not the team being injured in Game 7 against Carolina.
No, well, nobody has compared them to that team at all.
With Edmonton waiting in the finals, they probably win the Stanley Cup with Drury and Vanek and all those guys and Miller. I mean, this team is nowhere near.
Steve, who said they were?
Seven games. You guys just said it.
No, we didn't.
Joe compared them to the
2011 team.
I was going to say, yeah.
That team was not as close to the Stanley Cup as these guys.
Yeah, Steve, you're mishearing us, man. I would never for a second compare them to that team.
I feel like you just went on a 10-minute...
for the 2011 Sabres.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you just talked for 10 minutes about how this team is trending downward. Like,
yeah.
They're showing signs
of last
year's...
I'm actually making the point that I'm not bought in yet, despite the fact they're 6-1-1.
Steve and you very much agreed there.
Yeah, I think we agreed.
Might not have been listening.
There's a way to rewind and make sure Joe didn't say that.
Look at this.
My gosh.
Radio.com rewind. Go to the radio.com
nice.
App and do that. We'll take a timeout here. Shelby Waddle.
Do that,
we'll switch
Steve.
To football. Shelby Waddle. Got a benefit coming up for Veterans Day. The wife of Bills. Is Bills offensive lineman still? I mean, he's on IR. So, yeah, we can call him that. Ladrian Waddle, the wife, Shelby Waddle. We'll talk to her after the break. Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase here on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase also here on WGR. We got about an hour and change left. Talked a lot of hockey in the first hour and a half here. We'll get into some football. And now on the Wester Hotline, let's talk to Shelby Waddle, the wife of LeAdrian Waddle, Bills offensive lineman, who's currently on IR with a torn quad. Shelby, how are you today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
I am good. And you've got a benefit coming up for the Waddles Warriors Foundation November 11th. And I saw that there was an announcement coming. Is that essentially like what we're doing here, like details and such?
Yeah. So I'm going to essentially give y'all the lowdown and then we'll announce kind of the how to sign up and all that on our social media today.
Yep.
But it's a really exciting event, obviously, with Waddles Warriors, the foundation that my husband and I created. We have immense appreciation for veterans and first responders. My dad was a cop for 35 years outside of Detroit, and my brother is an Iraqi veteran. And so we, you know, like I said, we have immense appreciation for them. And so we just wanted to have an event to essentially say thank you. And so during the day, we are going to be offering free haircuts at the salon in the city, which is in downtown Buffalo. And we do have, people that sign up are either veterans or first responders, and they are able to basically go in and get pretty much anything done. If you know a woman or you even get your hair dyed, mm-hmm. It can be expensive, and they are offering pretty much, coloring services, haircuts, really anything. And so what I'll be doing is sending out the slots that are available, because obviously we can't have a billion people waiting and all that. So that will be during the day. And then right next door to them at the Buffalo Cider Hall, which I don't know how long y'all have been following me, but
yep.
I am obsessed with Blackbird cider, which is a hard cider. One glass will get you pretty tipsy, and I'm not lightweight by any means. And so we have partnered with them, which is amazing. I can drink all I want. So it's going to be a great event there, and we'll have about 50 spots available for veterans and first responders to come and have a nice dinner. And then, of course, will have some other resources available to them at that dinner, which we'll be announcing later. But a big thing that we always like to focus on is, of course, you know, letting them know that we appreciate and we're very, you know, thankful for everything that they do and sacrifice for us. And so we'll also be offering some services for mental health and addiction services and all that, that they'll be able to kind of explore and, you know, have people to work with them if they need some help and kind of guide them to do that. So, but overall, it'll be a super, super fun event and, you know, free food. Who doesn't like free food?
Exactly. Great. So you can follow her on Twitter at Mrs. Wadd74 for more details, or also the foundation at Waddles Warriors on Twitter or waddleswarriors.org. Shelby, just the overall support that I know you said you're in Texas and Lee Adrian's on the roster still on injured reserve. The amount of support that kind of not the fame, but how you guys have been embraced basically by Bills Mafia has been pretty incredible, I would say, since it's only been a couple of months here.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, we have wanted to create our foundation for so long. You know, I'm from Detroit and he was with the Lions, and we've wanted to create it since then. But, you know, sometimes you just have to go with your gut, and sometimes it's just not the right time. And we kind of felt that with the Patriots the past 4 years, it just wasn't the right time. And, you know, we were going through a lot, you know, him on the field and me off the field. And so, you know, obviously I'm never on the field. So
yeah, right.
I don't know why I'd be going through things on the field. But, you know, and when we came to Buffalo, it just felt right. Like, it felt like home for the first time, really, in football. And, you know, a lot of guys go through their whole career and they never feel that. And so for us to be embraced so, you know, immensely by Bills Mafia has been awesome. And, you know, we are so grateful and we want to give back to y'all because we love y'all. So.
How's his injury going? I know that was a season-ending injury. A torn quad does not sound like like a fun ride, but how's the injury going for him?
No, it's never fun. But, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, he must be really down and sad and all that. If you've ever met L.A., you know that he is one of the most positive people and mentally strong people, which sometimes I'm like, can't you just get pissed off, like, once? Like, how does nothing bother you? So, you know, he knows that it's football. He kind of takes it as it comes, and he went and got surgery, and it turned out great. He's ahead of schedule. He's walking without crutches. You know, we are doing absolutely everything that we can on our end to make sure that not only does he heal quickly, but he heals correctly. And, you know, as you know, talking sports, a lot of guys, you know, come back from injury and they're never the same. And, you know, he came back already from a torn ACL and MCL and all that. And so, you know, he's done it before, and he'll do it again, and he'll be better than ever.
Again, if you want details on this Veterans Day benefit, you can go to Shelby's Twitter at Mrs. Wadd74 or waddleswarriors.org if you're going to be looking for more details. Last thing, Shelby, the team overall, how much you've been keeping up with it, how exciting it's been for you guys to kind of be part of Bills Mafia for the first time here. And the team is good, like 4-1. It's a great start.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Like I said, I'm from Detroit, and not to hate on the Lions,
here we come.
But they're not
yep.
so great usually. and to see, you know, honestly, like, I know it sounds so corny and you probably think I'm just kind of kissing y'all's butt, but to see the Bills playing so well and to see the Sabres, you know, I don't know squat about any you know, sport but football, but to know and to see that the Sabres are doing so well and the Bills, I wish one day the Detroit can feel that again. Like, it's so amazing to see, and like to see how everyone's so happy and all that. And all that I ask is that y'all keep the optimism. You know, this is a new year, this is a new squad, this is a new team with new coaches and all that. So, you know, take it as it comes. You're 4-1. Like, there is nothing to be down about right now, you know? So just, you know, keep that optimism, and it'll take you far.
You're telling me that growing up in Detroit, you didn't like hockey? I mean, that seemed to be, like, the easiest city to like hockey. They were, from at least my entire life, they were amazing. The Red Wings were.
Yeah, so L.A. and I would go to games, but, you know, I'm usually in the food section. I'm usually okay. The one with, like, nachos stuffed in her face at every sport but football. you know, I do like that hockey players hit each other real hard. I like that. I like, you know, rough sports. But, you know, we've gone to a few games and we love them, but it's just, you know, football's my thing. Football's always been my thing. So I focus a lot on that other than other sports. Mm-hmm.
Shelby, thanks again for joining us. Anything final you want to say here on The Benefit and Waddles Warriors?
Just thank y'all for having me on, and thank you to Bills Mafia for embracing us and loving us and, you know, everything. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Shelby.
Thanks.
There's Shelby Waddle. Again, if you're looking for details on that, follow her on Twitter at Mrs. Wadd 74, or you can go to WaddlesWarriors.org or Waddles Warriors on Twitter. We'll take a time out here. We'll get into football after this. Bills and Dolphins this week, a 17-point favorite, and we haven't spent a lot of time on them, so we'll do that after the break. It is Sports Talk Saturday with Joe DiBiase and Lou DiBiase, 803-0550 for your thoughts here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.